Majesty, we are grateful that you're mindful of us. Care of us, you lead us, you order our steps. We bow before you this morning. Father, we pray that the word will go out and minister to every one of us. Encourage us, teach us, and show us the way that we need to go. Father, I pray that it will be in our heart to seek those things that please you, that our lives may be a song of worship to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'll read from verse 5. Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I'm passing through Macedonia, and it may be that I will remain, or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. A great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. That one little phrase there just opens up something in the heart of Paul that I believe we can learn a lot from. How many of you noticed that just when you're ready to do something for God, something bad happens? Yeah. Just when you start to tithe, there's a big expense coming down. Car breaks down, something happens. A wonderful door opens, but there are adversaries. There are problems, issues, trouble coming down, trials and tests and all of that. But Paul says, I'm staying here. Says, I want to stay here in Ephesus. The door is opened and adversaries, but I'll stay here till Pentecost. He makes no plans to leave. He says, I'm going to stick around because I'm not focusing on the adversaries. I have a door open to me. That's what I want to look into. And It opens up something about the heart of this man that has always impressed me. If you study the life of Paul, you look in the book of Acts, what he went through, how he was stoned, how he was thrown into prison, how he was beaten and all of that. And all of it unfair. Nothing was fair. And yet he goes on and on and on. And it is something that speaks to us as Christians. I guess when we begin to follow the Lord, adversaries rise up all around us. Problems come. I'm always a little, for lack of a better word, a little nervous when young Christians come into the kingdom, because I always know what's waiting. And I always pray, Lord, I know the adversaries are coming. Just help them that their faith won't fail. It's tough to stand up against these things. It is not easy. This is not a simple road. Jesus said, if you follow me, you'll have trials. And persecutions and troubles will come. Because that's what this is all about. The devil doesn't like it when we do the will of God. And he comes up against that. And he will fight. He will fight. He's coming out for a fight. And so it is up to us to have this attitude that say, you know what, we have an open door and we got to run with it. We have an opportunity. God has opened something up to me. He's given me some new understanding. He's given me an open door. Whatever it is, that's what we need to make our focus. But I move on a little bit from that and go to 2 Corinthians, just a page further, chapter 2. And verse 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and the door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ.
Right.
Always. Leads us in triumph. I think that's something that we sometimes need to think about a little more. And not focus on the adversaries, but notice or think at least about what we read here. It says, thanks be to God who always leads us in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now, do you know that triumph and victory never come unless there was a trial? You cannot have victory without a trial. You cannot have a triumph if there were no troubles. So, now we need to look at how we face those things. Because there's something else that Paul says here, very interesting. It says, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. So, the problem might crush you, but and it's going to release a fragrance. Fragrance is only released when there was a crushing. There's a spot there on our lawn where the previous owner planted some very lovely, fragrant, I don't know what it is, it grows within the lawn. And I've been looking for it, I can't really find it. But when I cut the lawn, I smell it. It just fills the whole area, lemongrass. It's just a lovely fragrance. But you don't smell it if you don't cut the grass. The aroma is released where the cutting takes place. And so, when we look at all of this and realize that, yeah, there's trouble in this life. There's going to be trouble. You're going to have the adversaries that Paul spoke about. With the open door, you're going to have them. Now, when that pressure comes, you're going to release some kind of fragrance. And that's the fragrance I would like us to think about this morning. What's the fragrance? Do you know everything has two kinds? There's two kinds of everything. I always say two kinds of knowledge, two kinds of wisdom, two kinds of love, two kinds of everything. And there are two kinds of fragrance. Because there's a natural fragrance and there's a spiritual fragrance. And it's the spiritual fragrance that's an important one. It's the spiritual fragrance. Now, when we face those adversaries, that moment when that pressure comes, that's when we release the fragrance that's in us. And that's the important thing that we need to think about. Because that is what will be remembered. Amen. Is the fragrance that we release. Sometimes you're in a conversation with somebody, and then after it, there's something that hangs in the atmosphere. It's the fragrance, the spiritual fragrance that influence the atmosphere. And that is the fragrance that we must release is what Paul talks about, the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Christ has been there. Christ was there. I met with a person, but it feels as if Christ was here. I always like the story of this woman that brought the flask with that very expensive perfume and broke it. And said, the Bible says, she anointed his feet and then rubbed it off with her hair. And the Bible says the fragrance filled the whole house. Yeah. What I always get out of that is, where Jesus is worshipped. And she made a big sacrifice there, right? Mm-hmm. Boy, that was a costly perfume. But she didn't count the cost. She was more concerned about honoring him with this beautiful fragrance. And after that event, when she left that home, that house, the same fragrance that was on him was on her. That sweetness of his presence, where Jesus is lifted up. Above that sacrifice that she brought, it is that fragrance that Paul talks about, that after, while he's facing his adversaries, I'm releasing that fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. Now, it continues on there. It says, we are to God the fragrance of Christ. We are to God the fragrance of Christ. Among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Now, you know, we always say different strokes for different folks. Not everybody likes the same fragrance. You got to be very careful when you buy your wife some perfume.
Yeah, really.
You're married long enough, you'll know that. I travel quite a bit, but I never bring perfume with me because I've learned that lesson.
Right on.
What it says here is, verse 16, to the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of life, leading to life. Isn't that amazing? That the same fragrance, the same aroma, is death to the one and life to the other. But it's the fragrance of Christ. It's the fragrance of Christ. Some will say, yes, I love it. And some will say, no, I hate it. But our job is to release the fragrance. That's our job. Now, when you go for a physical, and the doctor wants to test your heart, and he'll put a stethoscope there and listen to it, and then he might get you to do some push-ups, or he puts you on a treadmill or something, because he wants to see how your heart performs under pressure. Because that's the real test, right? That's the real test, is how strong is this heart. Now, the same thing goes also for us spiritually. You can only really see the strength, and you'll only know your own strength once you've been put on pressure. Some people have an issue with God because he tested Abraham's faith by telling him to go sacrifice his son. What a horrible God. No.
No,
he just wanted to see what was in Abraham's heart, that's all. That's all he wanted to see. He just wanted to see. And he wanted, not that he didn't know, but Abraham had to know.
Yeah.
Abraham was the one that had to know, because God was going to release something so awesome. In that incident, he was going to release a revelation through this man that while you're willing to sacrifice your son, down the road, I'm going to sacrifice mine.
Yeah.
And I'll stop you, but I won't stop mine. And Abraham was the one that was going to bring that wonderful, glorious revelation that down the road, his most beloved son will be sacrificed for our sins. But his heart had to be tested. God cannot put that revelation in untested hands. And the day that we live in, I believe we're going to face some pressures that we have not faced before. Because, boy, do we live in a very serious time. Do we live in a time where the real men and women of God will have to rise up and take a stand for the truth and stand and release that fragrance while adversaries arise around them and try to silence them and crush them? But we got to face some tests. And sometimes we focus on the test and we forget, I'm actually here to spread that aroma. That is what will continue to minister after I stop speaking. It's that aroma, that sweet fragrance that will change attitudes, that will change opinions, that will change hearts. How many of you read the Fox Book of Martyrs? Because we lived in Belgium where the Inquisition took place, much of it, and people were executed for their faith. There were two sisters that were convicted to die for their faith. And they put them both on the stake, and what they always did was they gave them last chance to deny the Lord, deny their faith. The one did. The one did, the other one did not. And as they started to light the fire, the one that recanted changed her mind. She said, I'm going to die anyway. That has bothered me till this day. Because in her moment of pressure, in that moment, when she could be a witness to the people watching that, she was more focused on the pain and the misery of it than on the fragrance that she had to leave behind. The moment of pressure is so important to every one of us. That when that weight comes down upon us, that we will realize this is an opportunity not only to be strengthened, but this is an opportunity to show Christ in me. Amen. That it's not about me, but it's about Him. Amen. The fragrance of Christ. Well, let's move on from there. When Jesus started his ministry, before he started his ministry, the Bible says there in Matthew chapter 4, you don't have to go there, that he was led to be tempted. He had to go into the wilderness and had to be tempted. He had to be. Why? Because he had to show the devil who's the boss.
Yeah, that's right.
He could not come down and say, well, I'm the Son of God, and I'm this, and I'm that, and that's where you are, and I'm here to reign. No, he had to win that fight. He had to win the fight. The devil came out, he came. And the only weapon that he has is temptation. He tempted him. He tempted Adam and Eve. He tempted them. He tried the same thing with the last Adam, Jesus. He came with temptation. Well, if you're hungry, well, of course, after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, you're hungry. Why didn't you make bread out of these stones? Well, he could have done it. The only problem was he would have obeyed the devil. He could have done it. But the score had to be settled.
That's right.
And when problems come our way, that is what's happening. We need to win that fight because we have to settle a score. We need to show who's boss. We need to show who is in authority here.
Amen.
We need to show where our faith is. And it will come. In many forms and formats. It will come. Temptation will come. And what I find is that often the temptation when the devil puts something on you, it is to tempt you to unbelief. To forsake the faith, the confession that we've made is to forsake that. Not realizing that what is actually at stake is not the adversary, is not the problem that he's throwing against me. It is the victory that is waiting. Who's going to walk away with the victory? Who's going to walk away with the victory? It's going to be me. It's going to be the devil. Who's going to walk away with that victory? And every time that those adversaries, those problems come, then we need to realize this is an opportunity for victory.
Amen.
Paul says, God always leads us in triumph. Always.
Amen.
Always. But we got to believe it, right?
Amen.
And even if it seems dark around us, we need to say, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to put my trust in God because he always will lead me into triumph, and it will happen this time again. When we first started out in ministry, I had a rough time dealing with some things. Because we faced this thing that Paul says, the adversaries, they were coming. They were coming. They were coming. And every time, God led us in triumph. And at some stage, I look back at all of that and I said, you know what? God never failed me.
He never does.
And I'm not going to doubt again. Because I look back over my life and I see the monuments of God's provision. I see the monuments of where God came and he pulled us out of a mess that we didn't know how to get out of. And confidence grew. And we began to believe this thing. God always leads us into triumph. Now Jesus said, if you follow me, you'll have trouble and tribulations. You'll have it. But he always said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That means, in Paul's words, he's going to lead you in triumph. He's going to lead you out in victory, out of this thing. That's what he means. That's what he meant by that. Ah, victory. Victory will come. But often it is in the crushing that the fragrance is released. Now I know we're faith people and we don't like talk about that. It sounds like defeat, but it's not a defeat. It's not a defeat. It is a victory that we can overcome whatever the devil throws at us. We can overcome and we can win and we can be victorious. And we can be triumphant. We just need to hold on and say, you know what? God is with me. And if he is with me, who can be against me?
Amen.
The only one that can be against you is you. When you begin to doubt, when you begin to focus on the waves and the wind and the storm, that is when things go wrong. I kind of just see those disciples in that boat. And that storm is heavy around them. And they were scared. They were scared. Some things are scary. Let me tell you, walking this road, there's a lot of scary things here. But, and while all of that is going on, Jesus is sleeping. I know some of you, and I won't ask you to raise your hands, because I don't want to test your honesty. How many of you felt after you prayed that God is sleeping on you? The reason why he's sleeping is because he knows the outcome and he's not bothered by the storm. See, you'll make it. Don't worry, you'll make it. Hang in there, you'll make it. Just as well they couldn't run away because they were in the boat. These things do come. But they're not what we think they are. They're opportunities for us to gain some strength and to win. God did not put us here to lose. We're born again to win. That's why we're here. We're here for triumph. I look at the world, and I'm talking about the Christian world right now, and I'm a little concerned because the Bible says in the last days there will be a falling away. And you know what? We spoke about it the other Wednesday night. We see it happen. We see a falling away happen in the church. Because life has become too easy. We're not facing enough storms to build that inner strength and that faith in God that says, you know, I can see the outcome. I cannot see how God can even get us out of this mess. And yet he can. Let's never doubt the goodness of God and the ability of God. I'm so glad the Bible says God knows what material we're made of. It says he will never allow us to be tempted beyond our strength. Now, I have doubted that at times, where I thought God's idea of my strength is not the same as my idea. But he always helped us and always showed us the way out of it. 1 Peter chapter 1. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Life in reality is not the same as life on Facebook. Don't be fooled by what people look like on Facebook. Don't be fooled by that. It's not the real thing. They'll never put their struggles on Facebook for everybody to see. They only put their victories on. And sometimes we look at that and say, well, why can't I have a life like that? Look what I'm struggling with. Look what I'm dealing with. Well, the truth is you don't know what they're dealing with because they don't talk about it. But sometimes we do need to talk about it because that encourages the ones that are in the midst of a war. We need to be honest. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. You're lying. You're lying. You're not doing fine. Maybe you need me to pray for you. First Peter chapter 1. And verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, let's say if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. If need be. Our pastor in South Africa, he used to talk about that. He said, do I need this? Well, yes, you do. Yeah, you do. What did I do to deserve this? You didn't do anything to deserve it. You got it to grow. That's why you got it. You got to grow. God wants to spread some fragrance through you. That's why it's coming. Let's do that again. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. I always feel that is not a little while in the midst of it. I always feel that this is it.
Yeah.
This is the final one. That's what I always felt. This is the final one. There's no way out of this. I look at all the angles. There's no door open. That's it. The devil can close everything around you. But he cannot close the way to heaven. For a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. What for? that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the fragrance. That's the fragrance. That we're going to stand before him and release that beautiful fragrance. I've come through all of that, and here I am. Here I am. It is to your glory. It is to your praise. The genuineness of your faith. That's what Abraham had to do. The genuineness of his faith had to be tested. Your faith will be tested. And if I may share just a lesson that I've learned in my own life, is this: every level has its devil. The higher you go, the meaner they get. But that doesn't matter, because the greater one lives inside of us. We just need to not forget that. The greater one lives inside of us. And God will lead us into triumph. But now, the genuineness of my faith is tested. And I want to pass that test. Somebody said, The worst part of my school career was the 5 years that I spent in grade one. It's true of many Christians.
Yeah, true.
We had, when I was in the bank and we had a lot of people there in the staff, we always looked to see our people grow in knowledge and skill and so on, because we wanted to apply them to different jobs there in the bank. But you got some of those people that they started at that job, and 10 years later, they're still there. Then, because every year we love to give them a salary increase, but then they became too expensive. They do the same old job, but they're getting paid more every year. The productivity is lacking. Then we had to make plans to deal with that. And so, the genuineness of our faith are being tested, because God expects more productivity from every one of us. I don't like that part where Jesus said, if you bear fruit, if you don't bear fruit, my Father will prune you. And if you do bear fruit, he'll prune you anyway, because he wants more fruit. I don't like that part. But I don't have a choice. That's God's business. He comes along and he keeps on pruning, 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 pruning. Because the only thing God is interested in is more fruit. And then Jesus comes and he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's what we're here for. That is what we're here for, is to be productive in our Christian walk and produce the fruit that glorifies the Father. I found out that we don't glorify him when we sing, I glorify you. You can teach any parrot to sing that. But we glorify him when we bear fruit. We glorify him when we continue to grow in productivity. We glorify him. But the pruning is part of that. Well, before things get too heavy here, let's go to James chapter 1. Just say to yourself, that thing that I'm struggling with is not what I think it is. It's about something totally different. James chapter 1 and verse 2. How's this for a confession? For a faith confession. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why is that verse in the Bible? Why is that there? And not going into an honesty test here, I wonder how many of us have done that. Thank God. Just look at the trouble that's coming here. Bless God. Look at my adversaries. Count it all joy. Why would we count it all joy? Because God always leads us in triumph.
Amen.
It's not about a trial, it's about a triumph.
Amen.
Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That's another word we hate. Together with discipline. Patience. But now look what patience does. But let patience have its perfect work. And before we read even on, some people have done more laps around that mountain than the Israelites have done around their mountain. And until you learn patience, are you going to go and test it and be tested and be tested and be tested and be tested until you show who's the boss?
Right on.
I've conquered that one.
Amen.
Amen. It took a little while, but you're getting there. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete. Now look. There is lacking nothing. What a promise. How do we even connect this place of lacking nothing with patience? Patience, that virtue of patience, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. If we can be patient in our trials and in our troubles, then we will get to a place where our faith is tested and we will get into the triumph where we lack nothing.
That's right.
I think the missing piece of the puzzle is probably that for some of us. That we're striving and we're fighting and we're pushing and we're pulling and the breakthrough doesn't come because down there is a piece missing. And it's called patience. The secret ingredient, because we never think of that. We think, no, I've got to pray more. I need to confess more. While in the meantime, it is just a small little piece there called patience that will bring me to the place of lacking nothing. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I'll be honest with you, this is one of the toughest lessons I've ever learned, is to be patient. I'm not by nature a patient person. My family reminds me that of that weekly. But I've learned to hold my horses a little bit.
Amen.
Because I want to get to that place where I lack nothing. I discovered the secret ingredient that will take me to that place. Hang on. Wait a minute. God is working behind the scenes. Don't run ahead of him.
Yeah.
You'll mess it up.
Yeah.
Don't run away from the whole thing. Be like Paul and says, I've arrived here at Ephesus. God has opened a big door for me and many adversaries are rising up, but I'm staying here till Pentecost. I know when I'm leaving. I'm not going to let the devil tell me when to leave. That's my plan. I wait for Pentecost. That fragrance that we release is oftentimes the thing that God is after is that fragrance, that sweetness of his presence. and it comes to the crushing. God says, God speaks to the psalmist. He says, he is near those who are of a broken heart. I don't want my heart broken. And a contrite spirit. I don't want my heart broken. But sometimes it brings you back to realize you cannot do that without God. You cannot do it without God. You need him. You need him. I found out that the steps of a good man or a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. You need patience for that. God, when God's busy with you, he doesn't put you in the microwave. He puts you in the crock pot. He lives outside of time. God is not time-oriented. He's event-oriented. And you can get, if that's all you take home, you're going to take home something that will help you.
Amen.
He doesn't care about time like we do. Time means nothing to him. He's looking to build that character that can withstand that storm. And still in the crushing can release that sweet fragrance. That is what he's after. That is why in Antioch, they called the first called the believers Christians, anointed ones. Christians, anointed ones. Because that sweet fragrance of the anointing oil is what we smell with them. They're the anointed ones. I think the church of today needs an influx of anointed ones. Let's become his anointed ones. Let's become his anointed ones. Let's spread that fragrance of his presence wherever we go. Paul says, spreading that or diffusing that fragrance of Christ in every place. That is the hope that the world is looking for. That is what the world is looking for. People that can stand up for what they believe in. Do you know why so many, they're finding out how many young people are rushing off to Syria and these places to join those militants? Because they're willing to stand up for what they believe in, even if it's screwed up. Stand strong. Fight for that. I'll die for that. Some of us look for something that we can believe in and live for. But sometimes we need something that we will be ready to die for. Say, I will stand in this truth. It doesn't matter what comes against me, but this is the truth, and I will not step away from it. And I may be in the crucible today, and I may be sitting there and feeling the heat that doesn't go away in that crock pot, and say, God is busy building character into me because he has a special assignment for me.
Amen.
And I'm here to win.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. It's not easy to win. It's going to take everything you've got and more. But it is possible.
Yes.
It's not easy to make progress. It's not easy to make progress, but it can be done.
Amen.
Everybody can do well when circumstances are fine. Everybody can. When the economy is good, businesses pop up everywhere. Most of them don't make it when there's a downturn. Because you need a real businessman that is skilled and that can stand the test of time to go through an economic downturn and still make it through.
Amen.
Then you know what you've got. Then you know what you've got. And any Christian can do well when there are no adversaries. But it's when the trouble comes, when the real people stand up. Say, they're the ones. Boy, it's tough. And nobody looks good while you're fighting a war. Nobody looks good. But we're not here to look good now. We're here to win now. Amen. That's what we're here for. We are here to win so that God can be glorified. Don't be scared by the adversaries. Don't be scared by them. They're going to help you to rise up strong. They're going to help you to be strong in your faith. To keep your eye not on the adversary, but on the triumph that's waiting. It's just an adjustment we need to make with our eyes, where we fix them. It's where the victory is. I believe God's calling us to victory.
Yes, amen.
I believe God's calling us to live the victorious life. So let's not back down when things get tough. Let's say, I'm here for it. I don't like it. We'll talk about it after, but we're going to win now. We're going to win now. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to do like Paul did, preach till daybreak, because if I get going, I can. Let's all stand. I know some of us are facing issues. I know the devil is out there. But this morning, I would encourage you to turn your eyes on Jesus and to look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Father, I pray for us this morning. And the place where we stand, every one of us, where you've called us to stand, that we will know that what we're going through is there for your glory. And the enemies that we're facing are not there to defeat us, but to teach us and strengthen us. Because you always lead us in triumph. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that you speak into every life this morning. Encouragement. And hope. And we come against those adversaries and we serve notice on every one of them this morning. That we are here to defeat you. You will not gain the upper hand over us. But we will triumph over you in Christ Jesus. And his name will be lifted up and glorified through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.